Now we have come to a part of our program that we all look forward to, the dedication and baptism talk. Brother Brian McDonald will develop this theme, continue walking in the truth.
You know, if I was to try to describe with words to you, brothers and sisters, the term beaming faces, I would be woefully short to describe what I see right here. Oh, maybe a little nervousness, but beaming, happy. So Sal, Zach, Tristan, and Zarin, on behalf of the Worldwide Brotherhood of Jehovah's Witnesses, including your brothers and sisters here, which number nearly 8 million, we extend a warm welcome to you on this day so special for you. Welcome. Welcome as you continue on the road to life. I'd like to read a scripture, if you would please follow with me in your Bibles, in this 26th Psalm. And notice what the psalmist has to say. Here he says in verse 3, "For your loyal love is always in front of me, and I walk in your truth. With your baptism today, you are making public your decision to walk in Jehovah's truth forever. Like the psalmist said, you will walk in Jehovah's truth. What's going to help you to reach this praiseworthy goal of walking in Jehovah's truth forever? Because it's a big commitment that you're making. What has enabled the millions of your brothers and sisters to continue walking in the truth, even though they have various roadblocks? Well, there is assistance available, and that you will avail yourself of, no doubt. Your study of God's Word has provided you with reliable information, which has enabled you to get here, to make wise decisions, to make spiritual advancement. Notice what the psalmist said in Psalm 25. Just to pick up a page or so back. Psalm 25 and verse 4 and 5. Here the psalmist says, "Make me know your ways, O Jehovah. Teach me your paths. Cause me to walk in your truth and teach me, for you are my God of salvation." Always feel this way. I know you four brothers do. Always seek Jehovah's instruction and guidance so that you can continue walking in the truth. You know, walking in the truth, it's interesting. Jesus called, use an analogy where, you know, if you're walking on the road to life, it's like a narrow little road. It's cramped, it's crooked, it's dangerous, it's bumpy, you can trip, you can fall, as opposed to that lovely big wide road that's right over there. We walk the narrow one. So, you know, it's sort of like hiking. It really is. Walking in the truth is like hiking along a steep mountain trail. And we're going to look at six similarities between hiking and walking in the truth. Now, you know, it's interesting. When people are hiking, they have to remain alert. Do you know the Grand Canyon has claimed over 700 lives of people who've fallen from hiking trails? Because people don't pay attention. You know, the proverb in Proverbs 14, Solomon said that there's a way that seems upright before a man, but it leads to death afterwards. So it's important that a hiker watch out for hazards. For us, and for you, it's important for all of us to heed loving warnings that we receive from Jehovah and his organization. That will save us from falling victim to the deadly snares of materialism, immorality, and independent thinking. Number two, second similarity. A hiker, when they're walking along, hiking on a hot day, I have to say, not that I do that. I haven't really hiked much. But you brothers look like you might have. When you're hiking, you have to keep a regular supply of fluid and nutrients. Did you know that a hiker on a good brisk hike will lose up to 2 quarts of fluid and electrolytes an hour? So it's important to replenish these. We as well, on this hike that we are on, we need to intake a continuous supply of spiritual food and waters of truth. Hikers sometimes, they rest. They stop, it says, on a level place to replenish their energy. And you know, sometimes we do the same thing. Where do we do that? Well, we do it at our meetings. Is that not refreshing? What are we doing here? Is this not refreshing? Have we not stopped at a level place and taking this in? Being refreshed? Our third point, third similarity. To avoid getting lost, a hiker has got to have reliable direction. Now, last year in the United States, 2,000 people on hiking trails got lost. Why? They weren't paying attention. They didn't have reliable direction. They didn't have a good map. They didn't even have a GPS. Didn't have a guide. They got lost. Well, you know, there's a reason that Isaiah said in Isaiah 30, this is the way. This is the way. Walk in it. And that Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10, it doesn't belong to us, to man, to direct his step. There's reasons for that, and that is because we need Jehovah's guidance. Because it's trustworthy. His word is trustworthy. And publications that explain and help us to understand his word are trustworthy. It is so easy to find bad advice. It's everywhere. Everywhere. But we must reject bad advice. And you know, there's always somebody who knows something better, more. Our peers, but you know what? You can find that kind of advice anywhere from any peer. Negative peer pressure. We need, and that just doesn't happen to school kids either. We need to resist that. The fourth similarity. If a hiker falls, he has to get up. Right? He just can't stay there. He has to get up. If you fall, if you stumble, search out someone who loves Jehovah, who will provide help, who will provide counsel, encouragement. You know, the Bible in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says that two are better than one, because one can help the other up. Have you ever fallen? Did anyone ever say, let me give you a hand? Here, give me your hand. And have you ever done that? And said, thank you. Well, you're going to do that, spiritually speaking. We all do. We all have. We must get up. And we can do so with the help that Jehovah provides. Our fifth similarity. Now, hikers always look forward to the end of the hike. I never hiked much, but on the limited hiking that I did do, I always looked forward to the end. Please, how long is this? Anyway, point being, it was just me, I was lazy. But the point being that, you know, even though you look forward to the end, hikers generally like to look around and see what's going on. Scenery, oh, look at that, isn't that pretty? Oh, they like that. Enjoy the scenery. Now, as you continue walking on your the road to life, walking in the truth, you get the opportunity to enjoy so many different blessings each day. We all do as we continue on walking in the truth. Take delight in the scenery. The scenery that you see at our meetings, the blessings that we receive when we receive instruction from Jehovah and his organization, the spiritual truths that are taught at the various schools that we are able to some degree to participate in. We've got the Theocratic Ministry School, we've got the Bethel Entrance School, Kingdom Ministry School, the Pioneer School, just to name a few. These are things that we can enjoy. These are some of the daily blessings that we have. This is some of the scenery that we enjoy along this road to life. And what about the joy of sharing these truths with others? What about that? You know, as far as scenery goes, you don't find much better than that. Can you name one thing at all that would give you more joy, that has more beauty in it, than to either have helped someone into the truth by means of a study? Can you think of a joy that would be more profound than what we have right here in these four brothers? You can't name something that's better than that. And this is, make no mistake about it, this is what you have opportunities to do. All of you. You will be sitting back there, and perhaps someone maybe that you study with, or maybe one of your children, is going to be sitting right here. You can find real joy as well in some other goals. Perhaps you might be able to serve at Bethel. Maybe you could pioneer. That older brother in the TV video that we saw on JW television, pioneered at such an old age. Assisting in a foreign language field, you could possibly help in construction projects. So these are some of the things that the scenery that you get to see along the way. An experience. Our sixth similarity, our final one, reaching the final destination brings great joy. Like in a hike, whew, nice, beautiful, I love it. Made it all the way up there. Well, when you reach the summit of your trek, the new world, can you imagine the joy that you will have? All sincere lovers of truth look for that. Wait for that. Think about it. Imagine it. And that is where you're going. And you know, along the way, there will be discomfort sometimes. You know, there might even be heartache. Do you know that? When I got baptized prior to that, I absolutely, sincerely believed that every one of Jehovah's Witnesses that I had met to date lived a perfect life. I really believed it. And I thought all I had to do was get baptized and that would be me. Great life, perfect. But we all know that's not how it is. So the joy, though, that you experience from walking on that road and reaching that summit will overshadow anything, any problem that you have had along that route. All of it will just melt away to nothing. As well, Jehovah, your God, our God, is going to feed us. He's going to lead us. And he's going to protect us. You know, and that's necessary because you are now taking, you're taking your stand for Jehovah God. You are publicly declaring that stand. And what you are doing today is you are also putting yourself as an enemy of Satan the devil. Now, Satan's aim is to get you to take a wrong turn on this trail, to get you to go down to a dead end, to one that maybe is a sharp corner that with no railing. He'd like you to fall right off. See, that's what Satan's goal is. But you can resist the devil, and you can overcome any obstacle that he may put in your path. Well, we're going to talk to three publishers who have continued walking in the truth despite challenges that they have faced after their baptism. So we'll start with Sister Helen McDonald. No relation, but still, I wish I was related to her. In the truth, we're related. Okay. There's a reason I'm telling you that. Okay, Sister McDonald, when were you baptized?
My husband and I were baptized in March of 1970.
March of 1970. Okay, and so did everything, did your perfect life start then, or what? How'd that go?
Well, about 3 years later, I had a big challenge, really. My husband was disfellowshipped, and then I had, for several years, I had to take the lead in spiritual for the family.
Okay, so that would have been difficult, having a disfellowshipped husband. How did you manage to get through that?
Well, I relied on Jehovah to help me fulfill this role. I especially took to heart the words of Hebrews 10 and 24, where I made sure that meeting attendance was a priority. We also had many friends in the congregations that were a real encouragement, and this, along with the ministry, helped us to always to maintain spiritually strong.
Okay. So would you say then, by doing that, applying those things, that you were blessed for that?
Definitely. My daughter is a regular pioneer now for over 13 years. I have a grandson that attended ministerial training school. He's now serving as an elder in Winnipeg Beach, Manitoba. I have other grandchildren and great-grandchildren who are faithfully serving Jehovah today. For myself, I've been able to auxiliary pioneer for a few times. And we had an added blessing this last summer. My daughter, my grandson, his wife, and myself were invited to attend the International Convention in Detroit. All this because Jehovah and his organization helped us to keep kingdom interests first in our lives.
Okay, thank you so much, Sister McDonald. So, Brother Nathan Cook, when were you baptized, I guess?
I was baptized in 1991 when I was 20 years old.
Okay, 20 years old. So how did things go after your baptism? How was everything in your life?
Well, looking back, I realized that I had a hard time truly trusting in Jehovah. I had concerns about making a living, and so I would regularly miss meetings and field service for work. And this was a problem because it prevented my family from progressing spiritually and left me in a vulnerable spiritual state. And eventually, when I was quite discouraged, I decided to stop attending meetings altogether, and I became inactive in the field ministry as well.
So how did you get out of that funk, as it were?
Well, I had many, while I was away, I had many loving visits from the brothers in our congregation. They made sure I understood that we were loved and missed by the congregation. So I knew that my family at the Kingdom Hall was ready to welcome us back. And I could see that isolating myself from Jehovah was only making matters worse in my life. And so I decided that once and for all, I had to truly trust in Jehovah, return to the congregation, and make spiritual activities a priority. And that was 7 years ago now, and I can honestly say it's one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Why would you say that?
Well, since then, Jehovah's proven to me that if I do things His way, things will always turn out. I have more peace of mind now than I ever have. And I've had the blessing of seeing my family progress spiritually. My daughter's been able to pioneer for quite some time now. And I'm particularly happy to see my son ready to display his dedication to Jehovah this morning.
Okay. Thank you so much, Brother Cook. So we're now going to call on Sister Catherine MacDonald. When did you get baptized?
I was 15. You don't need the year, right?
No, I don't. I'm sure it was about 10 years ago. Anyway, what would you say were certain challenges that you might have had after your baptism?
Well, I knew I loved Jehovah. I was old enough to make that decision, but young enough to have my priorities a little misplaced. I was quite interested in being popular. I was interested in having fun. And quite frankly, I didn't always make the wisest choice when it came to association.
Okay, so would you say that being baptized at an early age then, that it helped you to persevere or that it didn't?
It definitely helped me. Because even though I might have been sitting at the meeting and thinking about a party or planning the next social event, I did have a strong commitment to Jehovah, strong enough to make sure that indeed I was always at the meeting and I was always regular in field service. And while there, I absolutely made sure that I listened to and accepted any counsel or any encouragement or any advice that I did get from the older brothers and sisters. And ultimately came to realize that true friends, really good friends, are the ones that love Jehovah and the ones that are excited about His organization.
Okay, so how did everything go for you then, subsequent to that and that realization? What would you say?
Well, my dream came true. I wanted friends. I was invited to go to Bethel and worked there for a number of years. I met dear friends from across the country. After that, I enjoyed French class and pioneering in Quebec for 5 years and more dear friends. Then I married a faithful brother, moved to Edmonton, and again continue to enjoy spiritual blessings and more friends.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Sister MacDonald. We all really appreciated that experience. You know, Genesis 5 and 22 tells us that Enoch walked with the true God, even though he was a real target of Satan the devil. He was surrounded by everything wicked. He was in the midst of ungodliness, yet it said that he kept walking with the true God. Now, he was only able to do that because in walking with God, he became intimate with Him. He came to know Jehovah God. That's what intimacy means. You're close to God. And that's the type of relationship that you have. It's that type of intimacy that has helped you walk this far and to continue walking in the truth. Let's look at 3 John. 3 John. I always want to say chapter 1, but there isn't one. So 3 John and verse 3. If you turn in your Bibles there with me. And notice what it says. For I rejoiced very much when brothers came and bore witness about the truth you hold, as you go on walking in the truth. You go on walking. So this isn't a static thing. You haven't come to any end now. You're really coming to another beginning. You're going to go on walking in the truth. Well, we've come to that part where we invite you four brothers to stand. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I'm going to ask you to answer those questions in a nice, loud voice. Okay? Our first question. On the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, have you repented of your sins and dedicated yourself to Jehovah, to do his will? Your answer, please.
Yes.
Okay. Our second question. Do you understand that your dedication and baptism identify you as one of Jehovah's Witnesses in association with God's Spirit-directed organization? Your answer?
Yes.
Well, I heard that quite clearly. So your clear affirmative answers to these questions indicate that you are qualified for baptism, as ordained ministers of Jehovah God. I think it would be appropriate at this point to offer a prayer to Jehovah. Our kind and merciful Father, we come to you now in the name of your dear Son, Christ Jesus. We want to give you thanks for this opportunity to be here this morning. We are thankful for the association that we can enjoy at get-togethers and assemblies like this. But especially, dear Father, we are so thankful that we can be here and witness these brothers making their declaration to serve you forever. We know that a lot of work goes into a person's coming to this point, and so we are so thankful that we can have the privilege in some cases of helping such ones. We realize how you must be so pleased when you see individuals change their life around, bring them to a point that they can actually dedicate those lives to you, and we know that you are happy to accept these ones. So we ask then for your direction to continue to be with these baptismal candidates as they continue walking in your truth for the rest of their lives right on into the new system. All of us are imperfect. Please forgive the things we do wrong. We do so many things each day that displease you, and we do need your help and spirit so much. So we petition you for these things and again give thanks for all the blessings that you do bestow upon us and offer this prayer in Jesus' dear name. Amen.